I don't know. If he keeps playing the way he's playing, easily could get up there. Yeah, it'll be tough to see. Ty, what do you think?
Oh, we may have lost Ty.
Oh, I'm so
Nice.
sorry. I was muted. I was muted. I was typing on my keyboard, and I didn't want you guys to. I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. I didn't get far into my answer, though. So, you know. Fuck.
Hey, how we doing, everybody? Welcome back to another Hosers panel. My name's Taylor. With me, I got my co-hosts, Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Dude, I'm great to be back. Episode 8 today, and can't wait to get into it.
Love it. And Ty, how's it going, buddy?
Doing great, man. Thanks for asking. Wicked week for me. Real fun.
Yeah, great week of hockey. Full flow. Feels like we're like halfway through the season already with the shortened season and COVID protocols and all that. Just getting right into it. So what, we want to touch on COVID protocol first, kind of get it out of the way like we did last week?
Like every time, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Elephant in the room, we still got COVID around. And who's got the list?
I got it here, yeah. It's
here we go.
It was a bad week. It's slowly creeping up and hitting the league in its entirety. We got four teams now postponed currently as we speak. The Avs are postponed at least through the 11th of February. The Sabres and Wild are both postponed through the 13th. And the Devils, who currently have 19 players on the COVID list, are postponed through the 15th.
Man, that's so rough. 19 players.
It's insane.
Yeah, even if like COVID wasn't a thing and they had like 19 players off the roster, they wouldn't be able to play games. So just seeing that many players and seeing it affect like this many games too, like every night there's a game or two that are postponed. I think tonight was the first night where there wasn't like a regularly scheduled game that was postponed. So it's kind of deflating, I guess, for sure, for the NHL. And as a fan, it kind of sucks because you're like, oh, there's two games or three games tonight that aren't being played. But, yeah, it's tough. It's tough to kind of navigate. It'll be interesting to see how they handle it kind of moving forward throughout the season.
It did have me worried for a little bit, just about, sorry to cut you off, just about you know, the season. I had me worried when I read the two teams in one day, and the third and fourth, I think. Kind of puzzling.
There's been 33 games so far postponed. I mean, like, we're early into the season that you can kind of just schedule games in at the end. But, like, once the middle of the season reaches and, like, so as we start getting into the end, there's not a lot of time to reschedule those games that get canceled at that time, right?
Yeah. So I was just saying that the other day. Like, they're going to have to – if they're, all these teams that are, like, sitting out for the next 2 weeks, they have – a whole lot less time to get those games in.
Yeah, like what happens if there's 10 games left in the season and a team goes down with 10 guys?
Yeah.
Like then it starts to get a little worrisome. Like they gotta start reeling it in the next probably 2 to 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, not to mention too, like even if say it's a team that hasn't lost any game time to COVID and they go down with 10 games left. But what if it's a team that has lost like 2 weeks already? They have to make up those 2 weeks and then whatever they're going to lose this time. Yeah, it's dangerous for sure. I saw a tweet from, who was it? From Pierre LeBrun, I think, who was like, keep an eye on winning percentage. That'll be like a big thing this year that we want to keep an eye on because like some teams will play 15 games and other will only be at like 7 or 8. So kind of tell how your team's doing.
Exactly that, especially like if the season doesn't get finished or anything like that. That's how they did it last year. They'll do it again just like that.
Exactly. It's unfortunate for sure, especially like teams that haven't made the playoffs in a while. I'm thinking Buffalo specifically, but like they lose a few games and then they don't have a chance to kind of make it up and they're like maybe 5-6 games behind, and maybe those 5-6 games could have made a difference as to whether or not they finish in the playoffs or they finish outside the playoffs, or like who knows how they're going to do it this year. But I would assume they don't let everybody kind of play in to see how it goes if that's the case. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, but we do have a bright spot. There's been no Canada games that have been postponed. The North Division's still going strong. That's the one nice thing about having it contained to a division, that it only affects that division. So,
yeah,
exactly. Sports just gets banned in the U.S. and it can only happen up here.
Yeah,
we get promised a Stanley Cup champion from Canada. Imagine.
Yeah, top.
You just gotta give it to them.
Yeah, the Canadian team's going to the playoffs. They just kick out the bottom team, then they play six teams in the playoffs. Six again.
The only way a Canadian team's gonna win the cup in the next couple of years too is if they do that.
I know Toronto's looking nice.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, in the North Division, of course, but they're looking pretty good. Might just be the confidence booster they need. Feel immortal.
Yeah, that's true. Or they run into a team in the playoffs that knows how to play defense. Yeah. And absolutely get smashed. But I don't know. Who knows? We'll see.
I know it's hard to see how the development's going with all of them, because they don't really get tested. So it's like, yeah, I know what you mean.
Totally. Yeah. When you're used to playing like a certain style of game, like majority of the North Division is that same style. Run and gun and like not the strongest defense. When you're like all of a sudden against somebody who plays a complete opposite style, you haven't seen it all year, it's going to be an eye opener.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Bit of a wake up call.
Two-way street though.
Yeah, that's so true. So true. If you haven't seen any of that high flying offense and you've just been playing defensively and squeaking out like a one or two goal game, and then you're up against the Leafs and they kind of put six in the back of your net, like, yeah, definitely a two-way street.
It's so hard to compare teams like within divisions now, or like, like separate divisions, because I mean you're only playing the same team, so it's not like, okay, these both teams played Columbus back-to-back weeks, like that's not happening.
Totally.
It's gonna be those final four teams in the technically conference finals.
Yeah,
that's gonna be some great playoffs.
Agreed. I was looking at like the whole league standings and like where each team was. Obviously, some teams that are doing well are like near the bottom of the league because they haven't played a ton of games. Like Dallas and Florida have played less games than say like Toronto or Vegas or Tampa or whatever. But yeah, like looking at them, I was like, oh, like these guys are doing really well. These guys aren't doing very well, but like it's so circumstantial because they're only playing the seven other teams in their division.
Yeah, like the Canucks are 20th in the league overall, but they're fourth last in win percent or in point percentage, and they're not even close to fifth last. But yeah, like a crazy stat coming into tonight, it changed now, but coming into Monday's games, every team in the East Division was at least 500.
Wow, that's nuts.
That shows how many games are going to overtime.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it also showed you how dead on we were with how fucking even these all were.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no team is bowed out. The Rangers now have slipped out, okay. But they're now
they lost.
That's it. That's enough. I roasted myself. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Just to finish up on the COVID stuff, a couple other players not on the teams that are postponed that are in COVID protocol and COVID list and everything like that. Travis Sanheim, the defenseman for the Flyers, Jakub Vrana for the Capitals, and then Alex Pietrangelo on Vegas. I think he's coming back pretty soon, though.
Yeah, Blackwood just got taken off. Yeah. Like, it took a while. Jeez.
Yeah, but New Jersey, like the rest of their team is on it.
Of course, they still can't play, but I'm just saying he just got taken off.
Yeah.
That's over 2.5 weeks. That's a long time.
Yeah, well, and like Samsonov and Kuznetsov still haven't played a game since they met in the hotel room with Ovi and Orlov.
Yeah.
And that Ovi's played like four games so far since being
I didn't realize that. Well, he's just so alpha, he's just not phased at all.
Like, doesn't affect me. I'm just going to come and play anyways.
Russian gas.
Yeah, truly.
Well, speaking of recovery, we got some good news this week. We got a little update from King Henrik Lundqvist. About a month after his surgery, a little Instagram video saying that the recovery is going well, the body's feeling good, and you know, he's just taking her slow, but it's good to see that. Good to see he's in good spirits at least.
Yeah, good. That's so good to hear, man. Like, such a legend. You want people like that, players like him, to do well. Even if I don't know if he has planning on coming back and playing, but even if he's not, like, you want to see them all do well after retirement. So,
of course, and with him going to,
Washington
to another team and wanting and wanting to keep play, he signed a 2-year, didn't he? Or one?
I think so. I think two.
I don't remember. It was so long ago. I can't remember exactly, but either way, like, he clearly wanted to play, and what that really bothers me is that, like, for a player like that to not be done. And like, not, you know, he's gone. I want him to end on his own terms.
Totally. Yeah, not have to hang him up because of a health issue, but because he is done playing the mm-hmm. game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like Chara. I'm happy he's, you know, I'm happy he went somewhere. You can keep going. Go ahead.
He's doing well in Washington, too. A couple tucks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That reminds me. I just thought of, just a quick note. Lundqvist was a 1-year deal, $1.5 million.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
But Charlie McAvoy was talking about how I guess the Bruins were together watching the Caps game, and Chara gave it up the middle. Can't remember who he gave it to, but they scored. And McAvoy's first comments when he studies it is just, "Oh, Bergie would have been there."
Yeah,
just saying so that Bergeron spot on the breakout, it would have easily just taken it. Quick toss to Pasternak, they're out of the zone.
Yeah, big pizza up the middle.
Yeah,
too funny. Don't know. He just doesn't know their style of play. Yeah, that's
exactly
all.
Yeah, Ovi's at the far blue line, not his blue line.
Yeah, exactly. Man, you're with one team for so long, it's tough.
Have you guys noticed, just speaking of the Bruins, that they've gone to OT so many times, and like they always seem to, and they always win. I mean, they usually win when they go to OT, or at least they get the point right.
But yeah.
And they're just so resilient too. I find they're like always down, and they just find a way to tie it. And then when they get to 3-on-3, it's like where they want to be. It's like they got great lines for it. Tuca's great.
Yeah.
So, man, they're
one team that, like, seems really comfortable either down a goal or up a goal, like, with a one-goal lead or one goal behind. Like, they never kind of, like, you always see these teams, like, pull their goalie, they've panicked, like, they're really trying to score a goal. But anytime I've seen the Bruins, like, behind or, like, late in a game with one goal separating the lead, it's always such a calm finish to the game, whether they mm-hmm. score or not. So,
yeah,
you can tell they're super comfortable with that.
It made me think of Phony D'Angelo last week when we were talking about him and how like how you need the locker room to be good. And I was like, I was watching these guys play games and how they never get down on themselves. And like they came back against Philadelphia, who was like shutting them out 1-0, playing a great game. And I think like just the third period, late in the game, they got two, might have been like seven minute mark or something. But they looked like they were gonna get anything. And then they got two like a couple minutes apart. Bam, they were ahead. Or no, they got one, and then it was OT, or OT win, I think. And that's where I was like, man, how the hell do they do this? But they always seem to weasel away. And I was like, man, the room must be so good is what I'm getting at. Like we said before, they've played together a long time, and they just always seem to have each other's back and be totally confident in each other.
Totally, yeah, it's so true. Like, the big names, the big guys. I mean, obviously they lost Krug and Char both in the offseason, but that plays it. Pays a toll for sure, but like the big names like Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, Tuca, like they've all been there for more than 6-7 years, so mm-hmm. that builds to the chemistry for sure.
Plus, they're a funny team. Like, I find they always get these guys that they have for a short term, quite a few. Like, they get guys and they're pretty young prospects, and they put up some good numbers, even just for, like, a little while, or, like, they start popping, and then, like, they usually get moved. Like, as soon as that trade value spikes, they're often just shuffling guys for what they want, kind of like the Penguins used to when they were really hot, when they were, every year, they made a couple moves or a move or two at the deadline and got whatever they needed and made another run. So I'm looking forward to see what they do.
It's brilliant. Like, you have a couple, like, you have these players, and you bring them in, and you play them beside somebody like Marchand or Bergeron, or, like, some elite talent that's going to, like, kind of, mm-hmm. Increase their trade value, get them to look like, you know, they're a good player, and then you move them, and really, they were just riding the coattails of these elite players and had much higher value because of who they're playing with.
Yeah, Crosby's a great example of that, too. Hey, like, how many people is he just, like, chuck a couple rookies on Crosby's line and, like, they just look so good, or they're going to get so many points. And they usually get moved, too.
Yeah, end up Kapanen, in a different city.
Fucking Kapanen, man. he popped off, impressed people, upped his trade value for sure, and then they move him pretty quick. Well, he's a good prospect, and they might be able to get more for him. I know, I like it.
And got him right back a couple years later. But I believe since last we met, we were just talking about Ovi. Ovi's now seventh all-time in goals. I think when we talked last, he was...
709, I think he has, or something.
Yeah, I think when we talked last week, it was he just tied for seventh. I think now he's seventh all alone.
Oh, sweet.
Like, that's awesome for him, man. Tied seventh overall. Not tied anymore.
Now
he's
seventh.
He's now seventh solely. So that's awesome. Good for him. He'll get there. Maybe not catch up with Wayne, but he'll be one of the top five, top three all-time scorers for sure. So
yeah, it's basically a slam dunk now.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch though. Like I gotta say it, it's cool how it mounts. It's like it's slowly getting up there. It's like Barry Bonds without the steroids.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You're like the watch is on for this record race and just like it was for his.
Yeah,
and it'll be hype when he gets there. Like everybody, more people will be watching for sure. It is exciting.
Just a quick live score update. So, Monday night, St. Louis, Arizona. It's 3-2 St. Louis. Clayton Keller buries with 0.7 seconds left to tie it.
Yeah.
And then in the shootout, Christian Dvorak and Connor Garland both went absolute filthy backhand moves, and Arizona wins it in a shootout.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fucking game. That's sweet.
Yeah, two teams too that you don't often watch. Like, you know,
no.
St. Louis, Arizona, you don't turn that game on, but it's the only game left on, so throw it on and two filthy moves.
Can we talk about these garbage start times? Like there's like 8 games a day and 7 of them will start at 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 Eastern, and then one more is at 5. And it's
is weird.
Where's the separation? Like, chuck some at 4:30. Like, give us something to look at in intermissions.
Yeah, after the first period of all the 4 o'clock games, you're just kind of sitting around waiting for the next game.
Yeah, it's like sometimes it's too hard to pick which one to watch too. Like, it puts you in a brutal position.
Exactly. Like, you shouldn't be forced into picking a game. Like, they should separate it like a little better, or like at all, basically.
Yeah, that is weird.
Oh well, what can you do? You want to call Gary? Tell
him,
hey man, you got to change the schedule around a little bit. It's not working for me.
I see what you're doing over there, Gary, but figure it out. Yeah. I mean, it gets the games done early, so it's not like we have anything going on right now with the podcast because that was the last one to be done. But
I was so surprised when I saw that one before I got on. I was like, oh, it's usually someone to like, but yeah.
So, Ty, I don't know if you remember from last week, but you were dogging Malkin, and I said, oh, next game Malkin plays, I'm betting him to score because that's the tie effect right there. And then I was looking at their schedule and I was like, oh, they don't play until Saturday. Well, Saturday rolls around and I'm like, oh crap, I got to bet Malkin to score. And what does Malkin do?
It was one, wasn't it?
He scored off one,
Gino.
Yeah.
Still scored a goal.
Ty's making
money. No, hey, absolutely. Dude, hey, I'm for the people. I'm trying to help you out. Yeah, I don't know. I know. You texted me. I was happy to hear that. It was good for him. Man, I didn't get to watch a ton of hockey live this week, but this wasn't one of those weeks for me, but man, Saturday night, the Battle of Alberta. What a sweet game that just delivers. And how good does Blasty look? Oh,
yeah,
so nice. Right down to Markstrom in the pads. Go ahead, sorry.
Man, I was going to say, as a goalie myself, I am loving all of the reverse retro stuff. Like, it seems like every team in the league has like 6 different jerseys that they could kind of pop out any night. And all the goalies are going like different gear for each jersey, and it's just supreme. I love it. I'm so happy with it. Anyways, Battle of Alberta. Let's get into it.
Yeah, man. Well, they were able to hold McDavid and Draisaitl to a combined 5 shots, 4 for McDavid and 1 for Draisaitl. McDavid was still able to score, of course, but I mean that was interesting. And like I as soon as this I saw they won, and after the game was done, I was like, man, I gotta check how many shots they had, because I didn't seem to get much. And so that was a big one. And then, like, everyone stepping up. Man, so many role players in that game. Every line was scoring. Every line was adding to the score sheet. Had one from Bennett. Another good example of someone they're putting on a great line just to up his trade value. Sam Bennett, playing with Monahan and Goudreau. But yeah, he had a great game. I saw great games from a lot of guys. Michael Backlund had 7 shots. Got a Geno as well. Pretty one. So yeah, I don't know, man. It's such a fun game. The pace is so fast in those.
Yeah. Yeah, your Flames popped off for sure. They looked good.
They did good, and they need to win right now.
Yeah. It really came down to battle between, I would say, Markstrom and Koskinen too. And I think we both all know who the better goalie is. Yeah, truly, that's what they need to win, and they're getting it. So good for them. I'm happy for them. Happy for you, Ty. It's awesome.
Well, it's a great game, and yeah, they needed it. They're going to see them 10 times, so it'll be interesting next time, but I don't even know when that is.
Yeah, everyone definitely gets better than the next.
Yeah, except maybe Edmonton's goaltending. Their goaltending is not good. Never really been good.
It's not.
Nope.
It seems like Habib Boulin was the last good goaltender in Edmonton.
It seems like the top three in the North Division are basically like they're pretty locked. Like Montreal and Toronto seem to be 1-2. Winnipeg has kind of slowly eased away from the pack a little bit. So I don't know if they're going to lock in at 3, but they seem to be getting a playoff spot. And then the fourth spot just seems to be up for grabs between the Oilers, Canucks, Flames, really. Basically just the Battle of Alberta is coming down to that final playoff spot.
Mm-hmm. Man, could you imagine, like, I don't know what the schedule looks like, but near the end of the year, battle for the playoff spot, and they have to play, Calgary, Edmonton have to play each other for it?
Oh, game 56.
That'd be so good. Yeah, that'd be so good. I remember there was a like maybe 4 years ago or 3 years ago. It was like the 82nd game, New York, Philly, the Rangers and Philly. And like whoever won the game made the playoffs, whoever lost was out. And it was probably the most entertaining hockey game I've ever watched. And I like at the time didn't really give a shit about either team, but just like the passion in both teams, like wanting to make the playoffs and it being like the final, and then whoever lost is out and whoever wins is in. Like, it's just so good.
Dude, I'm gonna blow your mind right now. Pretty sure that was 10 years ago.
No, it was not.
Yep.
No, dude. It wasn't 10 years ago.
Actually, no, it wasn't. It was 11.
Oh. No. Seriously?
2010. April 11th.
What the fuck? Oh my god, I'm so old.
I was like, I don't think that's 3, but I was not expecting 11.
Yeah, no. I was thinking like 4, 5, 3. I wasn't sure, but fuck, 11.
11 years ago.
Rough.
But we touched on the Blasties. A lot of teams have been showcasing their reverse retros the past week, and then some of them are teeing them off this week, and I think a couple of the following week, but man, there's not a lot that I hate, but a crazy, crazy little stat here. The Oilers, Blues, Flyers, and Blue Jackets all wore 4 different jerseys in 4 consecutive games.
Whoa, that's nuts.
And then the Jets should also join them tomorrow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Tuesday. Yeah,
the Oilers?
The Oilers, yeah. They went away, alternate, reverse retro, home.
Man, it's hilarious, though, because they all kind of look the same.
Oh, yeah, they're all pretty similar, but...
Yeah, that's nuts, dude. That, like, to wear that... Like I was saying, with the goalie gear, and I think last week or the week before, I was touching on, like, sales, right? Like, teams are trying to make money, and fans are going to buy these jerseys, and as long as they keep buying them, then they're going to keep pumping them out. Pretty soon, each team will have 10 jerseys they can wear.
Well, it's good for the game, and I think, I mean, we do so many things... The NBA does, but the NBA has been doing that for like a couple of years now. They got like everyone's got so many jerseys they wear every season.
Yeah,
that 1 year the Raptors, was it before? I don't know. They get like 4 or 5 or 6 a year. Like, it's actually crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be nice to see. Like, the NHL has always kind of done something with like the warm up jerseys, where it's like military night or something like that, like breast cancer night or something. But it'll be nice to see them kind of implement more to like the actual game worn jerseys and stuff like that. Kind of cool.
Yeah, like just a tack on there. Basically, all this information is from Aesthetics. They are like the leakers of jerseys and they keep a whole bunch of stats and stuff, but there'll be so far 117 different jerseys worn this season.
Wow.
Which is a record over last year of 94. So 23 more jerseys.
Already?
No. So that's with the reverse retros.
That's at the end of the year.
I see. Unless like some team like pops out a new alternate or something like that. That's unexpected. But going back to basically 2000. 94 was last year and 94 was in 03-04. But that's second. Now 117 this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like you said, the NBA kind of does like their city jerseys or whatever. I think it's what they're called.
Yeah.
I'm not too.
They got tons. Like, and not everybody does. Like, it's weird. I don't know. Because Golden State's came out with like 4 or 5 or 6 in a season too. Like a lot. Like, it's crazy. And they got tons of nights where they just wear a jersey for one night. Like they do. I bet you some teams wear like 8 jerseys a year. I bet you some do. It's actually ridiculous.
Yeah.
It'll be all black. It'll be the fucking the G-Town one. Like, I don't know. I've seen Houston always wear a bunch. It's kind of sweet though. Because like, I don't really watch NBA. And I'll see it on the bar and be like, what? Who is that? And like, see, you don't recognize the jersey at all, right? Like, it makes me look.
Yeah, totally. I think that's one thing that like I appreciate from the NHL is that like, for the most part, you can kind of like turn a game on and you know what team is playing because of their jersey. But at the same time, like, yeah, the diversity could be fun. People don't really care about that much unless you're like a hardcore fan and you are just quickly glancing. But
I'm all for it. Like, if you guys want to drop 10 jerseys in a year, I'm not going to buy all 10. But like, dude, why not? I love the selection. Like, I think there's nothing wrong with it if you can afford it, and I don't know why not. I think it's great. Give me 10 jerseys.
I don't think we've touched on this, but like obviously this year was the first year of the helmet ads, or helmet stickers or whatever. And man, I think they should just continue it. I don't notice it at all watching the games. The cameras are so far away; it just looks like glare or like a little sticker, and like it's not. It's not crazy unless you look at like a close up on the player, and even then I don't care. Like, I'm not like, oh man, they got a Scotiabank logo on the helmet. I think I'm gonna turn it off. I'm gonna go watch something else.
Some fit. Some logos actually just like fit on there.
Yeah.
Again, to compare it to the NBA, like when they, and I don't think it's as, I think it looks more normal on a hockey player's helmet than it did when they made the patches on the jerseys. Like, I remember that was like, whoa, when I first saw that in the NBA, I was like, what the, and some fit, but some were like, some just fit with color, some fit with like theme, like the Orlando Disney one and the Magic and Disney.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't mind it. I like it. I think it fits great.
Yeah. I don't mind them either. Like, to your point, Mike, like you see them mostly when it's like a close up on the player or whatever. But I would say like you kind of got to go with ads that would sort of fit. Like, a lot do fit well, but I was watching like the Leafs game the other day, and I'm pretty sure Scotiabank is one of their ads, right? Yeah. Yep. So they've got a red Scotiabank logo on their blue helmet, and like there's no red anywhere else. So it like, not that it looks bad, but it sticks out, right? Like you can really see it. So like maybe Scotiabank decides to throw in a white ad, or I mean, I guess they want to know. They want to like know that people are seeing their stuff.
Yeah.
It's not blending in. But still, I don't know. I just like, there was another team that's, I forget who it was. But they had orange was not their color, and they had an orange ad on their helmet. And I was like,
yeah.
Like, it just doesn't go.
It's the Kings.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. So like black and white and gray or silver or whatever. And they've got like an orange helmet ad. I mean, if it's bringing revenue to the league, great. Keep it. I'm all for it. That's fine. It's not really impeding with the like actual gameplay or like my pleasure of watching hockey. Like it doesn't bother me that much. It's just the like the teams that do have the ads that fit well with their colors. It looks way better.
Do you think do you think a company wants that though? Like, do you think they are like, okay, you know what, we're Scotiabank red on a blue jersey, teams are gonna like, people are gonna notice our logo.
I'm pretty sure they're Calgary's too, and that one's like white, and that one comes out white, and and red. Like, it looks okay, but I didn't know they did more than one team. That's why I'm like, oh.
Yeah, well, the Saddle Dome is the Scotiabank Saddle Dome.
See, it made sense to me, but that's what I mean. Like, I didn't even know it was the Leafs one. So clearly I haven't noticed that, but I haven't watched any Leafs games either.
Scotiabank's like, everywhere, man.
It looks like the red the red for the Leafs is only on their road jerseys.
The white?
On the white one.
On the white ones, yeah. When it goes to the blue, it's just a white logo. I have them all open right now.
So, yeah. and that makes sense because, like, white on white wouldn't look good. And Scotiabank probably doesn't have a blue logo. But, yeah, anyways, threw me off.
If it's going to be made, if it's going to make the product better and it's going to be that minor, and as I said earlier, like, I find it blends in and it's a lot less shocking to the eye than the NBA one. So, like, I think they're doing a great job. If it's going to improve the product, like, yeah, give it. I think it's a great idea. I mean, and I also love that it's subtle. I love that it's not too much.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's nice.
Especially in a
league. I don't want one of the jerseys, like, Christ, but go ahead.
Especially in a league that is, like, people just want their jerseys clean and stuff, like, If they're gonna start introducing them on the jerseys, starting with the helmet is a perfect like initial foot in the door instead of going straight to the jerseys. You know, you just stick it on the helmet and then it's like, okay, we'll get the feel for that. It's like, okay, maybe a little one on the jersey now. And people are like, the argument against it always is like, it's gonna look like Europe, and it's like, it's not gonna look like Europe. I'm pretty sure the NHL is gonna stop before they have 78 ads on the front of a jersey.
I also love the idea of, I don't love the idea of buying a jersey and having an ad on it. You know what I mean? Like, to own one with an ad on it.
Yeah.
Like, seeing people walk around in those European ones, to me, looks like the dumbest shit ever. You look like a walking advertisement. It's so weird. Like, so yeah, that's the only thing is I would be pretty weirded out if they put them on jersey. Like, I'd probably accept it, especially if it was minor, but anyway, I'd definitely be annoyed if I got a big bar at the bottom that said fucking, like, Home Hardware or some shit. I'd be like, oh, that's so sweet. Like, I'm wearing this to the mall today.
Yeah, I'm looking at like there's one European jersey. I have no idea what team it is. It's just a picture. I was going through like ads on like hockey uniforms.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a blue, it's a blue uniform. It's actually a nice jersey, but on both shoulders and both legs, they've got like a red box with the McDonald's logo in it. And like it's a blue jersey with like light blue stripe, and then like the McDonald's logo, and then there's four more ads above them and three more ads below them. Like, what the fuck? Like, the whole jersey is an ad.
And you know what? As I said too, I wouldn't mind it really as much if it matched the jersey and shit. It would make a huge difference to me. Like, then I maybe wouldn't mind buying it. If it was Home Hardware and black and was all my Flames colors, maybe I'd do it. Yeah, it could work. But I don't know. But like that's the only way. If they were all random or like big ass white thing, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, you have like a big bar through the middle of the chest. Like, yeah, that's not gonna.
Because it looks, man. Like, you can make them look so bad, and you were saying, the jerseys look good.
I am a big fan of the Toronto McDonald's Burger Kings. You know, they're my favorite.
Oh my god. Yeah.
I think the Toronto Tim Hortons would probably make more sense, but that's just my guess.
Yeah.
The Toronto Timbits? Timbits hockey.
Yeah, there you go. Too funny.
They just make an alternative jersey. It's the Timbits jersey, and Matthew's everyone's wearing it. It says Timbits on it. That'd be fucking hilarious. They should do that.
That's when, like, when you go walk into McDonald's and McDonald's just got like a Habs logo on their shoulder. It's like, oh, we just returned the favor.
Yeah.
Montreal wants to grow the game that badly that they've got their logo on every McDonald's employee's hat or something.
Yeah.
Nice. Love it.
All right. Back into the hockey talk, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Man, I was just looking through the lineups this week. Colorado's D is so young.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man, it's nuts.
I find a lot of defenses, but go ahead.
Yeah, Colorado's, though, is nuts. You got, like, obviously Bo and Byram is playing top six right now because of injuries, Mike, or sickness or something?
His ability is really... He's earned it. He started, like, the bottom pairing, and then it was, like, quickly, like, okay, you're going to start playing with Cale Makar.
Yeah, so he's 19. on a line with Cale Makar, who's what, 22?
21. 21, yeah. Okay, no, 22, and then Sam, I think, yeah.
Sam Girard. Also, and like, it's not like their defense is bad. Like, they're unreal. Girard, yeah. Makar, and Byram all look so good. And they're, yeah, they're just so young, and it's nuts. Anyways.
Yeah, Girard's 22. Connor Timmins also playing big minutes now, 22 as well.
Yeah, and then Ryan Graves is like 25 or something.
27, I think. And then when he comes back from injury and the team gets back, Devin Toews, he's 25, I think.
Nice.
And I mean, Sam Girard's locked up until he's 30 at $5 million. Oh, Joe Sakic.
Yeah, that's a great deal.
That was a great deal the moment he signed it. It was like, okay, we're good.
Yeah, agreed. You can spend some more money on the big boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the defense in New York for the Rangers. They're like so young too,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. The oldest one's Trouba, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Out of their current guys, yeah. But another young D-man on the Sens. Sens have kind of imploded a little bit, but Erik Brännström gets called up.
Nice.
He gets put on the taxi squad, and now he's finally called up to the big squad, and he should be making his debut tomorrow, I believe.
Yeah, it's about time. Like, solid defenseman who obviously, like, Sens fans have been wanting to see, like, do well for quite a while, right? And just hasn't fit in with the style or whatever, I guess. Not performing well. So it'll be good to see.
Yeah, just a young kid with offensive ability and no coach trust ability.
Yeah.
Believability? I don't know the word I'm looking for, but yeah. Trust ability works.
Just trust.
There we go. Yeah, it's it'll be good to see what he does because he's been electric. He's got good feet. So as long as he can just get a bit of a leash, just let him play his game in the way he can, and hopefully big things.
He like led Sweden to. I mean, they didn't do very well, but he looked good on Sweden when they were here in the World Juniors.
Yeah, so, he looks so good.
Yeah, he was like by far their best player. So it'll be nice to see him make an impact in the league. Hopefully. Man, Ty, yeah. you posted something on Facebook this week.
You bet I did.
Yeah, you did. All time, if you had to choose one goalie, Stanley Cup final, you could pick your goalie all time they were in their prime. Who would you pick? That was your post. And there was like one goalie for each team. So who would you guys pick? Like their prime number one goalie that you would kind of go for?
I think there's one correct answer, but I'll let you guys go.
I'm just going to throw us under the bus if we don't pick that answer. Unbelievable.
I'm up for debate.
Well, there's no wrong answer because it's an opinion. I don't know. Exactly. It's like almost impossible to not pick Kiprusoff because I stopped watching hockey. I wasn't a fan. And then I watched him and he amazed me. Like if he could see it, he could stop it. And some of the improbable saves and paddle saves he made, like it's really hard to not pick him. Like I'm sure there's a better one. Mike made me feel bad right away, but it's hard. It's really hard to not think him, man.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, and he got cheated out of his cup in his prime. So I don't know. And I started watching him just after that. Like I didn't watch that as a fan. I was a fan like the year after, and I didn't even. Yeah, I didn't watch that run. So I don't know. He was amazing to me, and he was never surrounded by a team that could do it. So he carried them and stole a lot of games.
That's a good pick.
That's fair. Yeah, a great pick. Somebody that like, unless you're a Calgary fan, you really don't know. Right, like you don't.
When he was on. I remember people when I'd say I was a Flames fan, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, Kipper or Iggy," but they'd usually go, "Yeah, Kippers can be nuts."
Yeah,
go ahead, dude. That Mike, some of those paddle saves, but go ahead.
Mike, you want to go or
sure?
Go for it.
The Dominator, Dominic Hasek.
Yeah, a great pick.
Just like all the era adjusted numbers and everything like that. Like his numbers are straight up bonkers. The numbers he was putting up, it's just
stack high pots.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, he was just world class. Really, is all it comes down to.
Yeah, that is a great pick.
I think I have to go with the gentleman who has the most wins in the NHL.
Broder?
Yeah. Martin Brodeur.
Really fair.
How can you not, man? Like, hey, Brodeur. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan Carey of Price. His play style. Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
Just same level of hate. Like, if you hate him that bad, I probably hate Carey Price that bad. And he's a great goalie too.
I met Brodeur though, so hey, got to get his autograph.
Oh, yeah, you don't even. Man, you're breaking my heart. You don't like him?
No.
I'll take it if you don't want to hold on to it.
Oh, it's rubbed out. It was on my draft hat from 2016.
Oh, unfortunate.
Him and Cam Neely.
Nice.
Same hat. Same airport.
Is Neely still on there? Is it faded out? Did Neely survive?
They're both faded, I think.
Oh, that would have been intense. Okay, go ahead.
Career numbers of 691 wins. That's nuts.
Isn't he way ahead of like the next three?
Was next, but...
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyways, I hate his playing style. He's like an ugly goalie to watch, but I think his winning pedigree says it all, and I'd like to kind of bank on that.
Do you remember the moment
his prime?
Do you remember the moment that he lost? Yeah, his prime is a good point. The moment that he lost the starting goalie job in the 2010 Olympics, when he just like he's playing USA and he's having a pretty shitty game, and then like he looks bad, and then like to top it all off, right before I think they yanked him, he fucking this puck goes into the air and he's fucking it's like a one goal game and he goes up and like just bats it like full on swings at it, muffs it right to the D and can't set for the goal and it goes right in, and then I think they yanked him maybe one more. But, it was so hard. I remember being so pissed. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. What is that shit? Like, you're just banking on the clear working in it. It's such a gamble. Fuck me. And it was, like, not an easy hit either. Like, just the full-on swing he takes is so funny to watch. I can't even believe you hit it. But, like, you're not sending that where you want it.
Man, I'm looking up Dominik Hasek's numbers right now. Like, one season, he plays 72 games out of 82 games. With a .932 save percentage and a .209 goals against.
Sat for 10 games.
That's hilarious. The next season, he follows it up with a .187 goals against and a .937 save percentage in 64 games.
Nuts, dude. That's going to be Vasilevsky this year. Sit for 10 of the 56 games.
Yeah.
Tonight was the first game he didn't play since, like, before the cup run.
Wow.
That's nuts. Yeah, that's nuts.
Well, as you do that, speaking of Tampa, you want to touch on the old Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why not? Let's touch it.
Tampa Bay.
Okay,
Tampa Bay.
Go.
As much as I don't like Brodeur, he is nowhere on the list to Tom Brady.
You don't like Tom Brady?
I cannot stand Tom Brady.
Why?
Is it because he wins?
Make great again.
What'd you say?
I said make America great again. He loves that shit. What's wrong with him? Kisses his kids on the lips. He's a great dude. He's a big smooch. And his boss. I love ya. It's alright. Nothing really against it, but it's a shocker.
I don't know. I think he's been carried a lot by his defenses, and they get no credit for... It all gets put on. Okay, my least favorite thing in like all of sports is individual players getting team recognition.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, the thing is like, Tom Brady's the best because he's won 7 times. It's like, yeah, it's a fair point, but like, how many of those games has he won for the team? Like, quarterbacks are able to win games solely because they play amazing. I mean, he just doesn't have the numbers to back it up for those. He kind of has the LeBron effect, you know, like now that he's gotten so much credit that players just want to sign with his team, and obviously just boosts his record and ability and
yeah, like LeBron. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you look at Sunday night's game and Patrick Mahomes has no offensive line. He is getting run around the field. He's playing on one foot because he's going in for foot surgery. Like, soon, some point, whenever everything dies down and everything, he ran there. I saw the stat. He ran from like dropbacks and scrambles. He ran with the ball for 497 yards.
Yeah.
Just in the backfield. And man, people are blaming him for the loss. Like, he played such a good game. Not a chance. He threw on the run like he was touching the ground, sidearm throw, perfect spiral to a guy's face, and it like touched him in the eyeballs and dropped.
Yeah, and he dropped it. I know. He muffed it. I know. He had no help. It was really hard to watch.
It was, yeah. And then
he had turf toe too. Like, that's a brutal. Yeah, that's injury. So like that's every gross to play with. They're running that much on.
Oh, every time, like, in between plays, he's limping and stuff, and then he, like, cuts the ball, and he's running for his life for 20 yards, like, no problem. It's like, man, it's gotta be so much pain.
Not to mention, I can't believe we haven't mentioned this yet, but how many flags were there against? Oh. Like, that was insane for, like, anything and everything.
If anybody follows Hoser's Panel Twitter, I was kind of sounding off about it. There was a lot of Super Bowl tweets that were going out. Based on everything like that, yeah, the flags were bad.
It looked like it's too big a game to have ruined by penalties, and everybody knows that. And you could just like see it coming, like it was staring in the face, and they just kept doing it. And so many were like, I saw so many holdings and interferences that were, like, I was like, what?
Oh, there was it's also the Brady effect too, though, right? Like, man, he gets so many calls, and it's like, I know it's, I guess, cliche to say it, but. Like, it's just fact. Like, I don't know how you can argue against it. There was a play where Mahomes drops back and getting sacked, and two guys, a guy from the left and a guy from the right, both lower their head and hit Mahomes' head. Like, basically, it both hit his ears at the same time. And there was a flag for roughing the passer because a guy hit him low. The third guy in the backfield. It was like if the rules were reversed and two KC guys smoked Brady on either side of the head, like, they'd be tossed.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's, like, any argument against that. Like,
I saw him get sandwiched a few times. Like, I don't know. I thought one was by three guys, but go ahead, pardon me.
Yeah, it was probably the same one. Like,
it was pretty ugly. Like, I remember being like, man. And, like, he had a concussion, like, 2.5 weeks ago, didn't he?
Yeah, like, he just came back. Like, he cleared protocols, and I think that was for his last game he cleared and was able to play. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, 3 weeks ago, like, man.
Yeah. Like, he won't forget. He's going to feel so cheated, and he's going to try, like, this is the health bug, and he played through it, but it's a lesson you always got to learn. Like, if you're Crosby, if you're anyone, if you're one of the greats, you got to learn that you have to stay healthy, and, like, you just have to make it. Like, it's going to be a salvage job if you ever get to the finals. Half your team's going to be dying, but you got to find a way to be there. He was, but, like, clearly not enough people were.
Yeah, he really got, like, no help at all anywhere. Like, the defense didn't really help him out too much. Obviously his receivers didn't do anything other than Kelsey had some catches and really didn't drop the ball. His offensive line was nowhere to be seen. He ran so much on his foot. Like, he was the one picking up the first downs. Like, he was running the ball for first downs. That, like,
especially early.
Like, you switch the quarterbacks on the games on the teams, and like, Brady stands no chance. Like, Mahomes made so many like plays possible with his footwork and his, like, incredible arm strength.
If Brady didn't have an offensive line, man, holy fuck.
No, that's the thing, like...
Yeah, like, he'd be dead. He would have just gotten crunched a million times. Yeah. Not to mention the defense pass rushers are pretty good on Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah, their defensive line was not needing three offensive linemen to be out for them to make an impact, for sure.
Exactly.
And that's the same thing with the Brady effect, right? Like, he comes to Tampa, it's like, oh, Tampa wasn't that good of a team until Brady got there. It's like, well, okay, yes, Brady got there, but they also got Gronk, they also got Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett came back a year stronger. Like, they got, like, six guys on defense, like, five guys on offense. Terrell Owens.
Is the wrong one? Oh, fuck me. Antonio Davis.
Antonio Brown.
Fuck. All right, sorry. Terrell Owens.
Hall of Famer. T.O.'s back.
Yeah, he's back. The Brady effect.
That's so funny. Yeah, man, it was just an all-around garbage night. But, you know, shout out to the bettors out there. Kansas City just goes zero touchdowns in the game, was 40-1. So anybody who hit that, they're having a good day no matter what happened.
Yeah. So my buddy was betting on, like, what the first song was going to be in the halftime show.
Yeah.
that's a good one, too.
Funny thing about the anthem, or not funny thing, but I'm not too sure if it got taken down, but some guy tweeted out, like, some people were, like, rehearsing the anthem, and he's like, oh, boys, the anthem's going to be 216, so hammer the over. And I don't know if, like, a bunch of books took down the offers of that because of that tweet, but it turned out to be, like, 225, and the over under was like 2 minutes. So like it went way over, and I don't know if it was still available, but man, if it was, that's an easy overhammer.
Dirty. Yeah, man. Between the Super Bowl commercials and the American ones, of course, and the bets, it's pretty hysterical.
Yeah, actually, just one more thing I wanted to bring up. A tweet that I saw from Luongo about Tommy. He's like, Tom's over here winning his 7th championship, and I'm over here and I can barely put my own socks on.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, he just hammers Luongo.
Yeah, he's such a character.
He's so funny.
But actually, I kind of just totally forgot about it until now, but the halftime show, Canadian Boy Weekend.
Yeah.
Pumping it out.
Good one.
What do you guys think of that? What do you guys think of the show?
That was pretty good. And yeah, it wasn't like it. One of my favorites or anything, but pardon me.
Yeah, I thought it was like catchy. And like, I mean, he didn't have the full area to work with, right? Like he had certain boundaries and stuff with COVID and everything. So
yeah,
I thought he made good use of the space and got a great meme out of it. That was him like running through the maze tunnel thing that.
Yeah, it just kind of blew up on Twitter and Instagram and everywhere. Pretty funny. I mean,
they're all wearing masks.
Yeah. Oh no, like the it's I don't know if did you see it, Ty? It's like it's like weekend like peeking around the corners and like trying to like run through and trying to like it looks like he's trying to find something. So like the original video has like 50 something million views right now. Because everybody's just using that video and it just blew up. It's hilarious. I had I think I tweeted it once. I think it was about the bookie trying to find me after all my KC bets lose.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Man, I guess speaking of Tampa Bay championships, you guys see that like Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup winning tattoo that this guy got? Like
it's dude, a full I did.
Sleeve of the entire roster.
All the faces and stuff. Is that the one?
Man. Yeah, yeah. So nuts. Like his entire arm is like each player, so that each player is somewhere on his arm on like the Stanley Cup winning roster. So cool. I wish I had thought of that.
What happens if they go back to back or win it in like 10 years? Like what happens then?
Yeah, that's true. I guess he wasn't thinking about that, but just the first one counts.
He's like the Stanley Cup, but just have to get the whole roster somewhere else on his body.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, true. You move on to the leg and
he takes off his shirt, he's just got like they just go on a run, he's just fucking covered. He's got face tattoos, these guys' faces. Yeah.
If they win it twice again before like in the next like I would say 10 years, then definitely. And like even go back to 2004, get like that entire roster tattooed on you somewhere. For sure. I could see it.
Fucking that roster's bogus. Shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, whatever, Ty. You're just sour because you're a Flames fan.
It was in.
Yeah, it could have been, but that's fine.
That video is fucking bullshit. Okay, what else?
I got a bit of a crazy stat here for you.
Let's hear it.
So there was a streak that was snapped yesterday. 2 days ago, if you're listening to the podcast on the first day, but... the Detroit Red Wings went 468 days without a win, without a goalie named Jonathan Bernier in net for it.
No.
Yep.
What?
Any wins in the past 468 days, Bernier was the winning goalie.
Jesus. That's insane, dude.
Yeah, broke yesterday because Grice beat Florida.
Nice. Poor Jimmy Howard.
I think I saw that on Tuesday, so I already had it ready for like 469 days. It's still going, and then I looked and I was like, "Oh, they lost or they won."
They won with a different goalie.
With a different goalie. That was disappointing. But yeah. Man, what a streak! Like, goddamn.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's a long time,
dude. That's a year and a half with only one, and he wasn't even the starter last year. That's the sad thing.
Yeah.
Jesus. Good old Jimmy Howard went like 2-33 or something.
I was gonna say I watched that was able to watch the highlights for that Jimmy Stew and the boys taking down the Habs.
Oh yeah.
I was like what? Like I decided to watch it, and yeah, they looked really good in that game. And we're kind of getting to the point in the season where all these younger teams are getting their bearings a little more. You see like a lot more out of the real young guys, and they're full of them. And I also saw Jimmy Stew scored again, so kind of cool that he he can keep producing. Always looks good on the puck and etc. Murray, I thought Matt Murray had a great game. So that was something for the tire pumpers. If you're a tire pumper fan out there,
yeah, he can mix in a game or two that actually play as well.
Yeah, I mean it's super promising to see. That's one thing. There's a beautiful goal by Shabbat. What a shot! And there's a couple times where you just see the talent. You're like, ooh, like that's gonna be something else. When
great shot, Shabbat.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Should we jump right into Hoser's big three?
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
All right. I pumped him last week on the podcast talking about how he's the most underrated player in the league. He had a big week this week. Jeff Petrie, 4 goals, 2 assists from the back end.
Man, what a great pick.
Great player. My boy.
Yeah, definitely a great play, great week for him. I would say, like you said, underrated. One of the more underrated defensemen in the league. We touched on that last week, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, man, 13 shots, 4 goals, plus 7. Like, big week for Jeff.
Yeah, he's not going to shoot 30% every week, but hey, 1 week is fine.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's enough for the
Hosers. That's good enough to get on the... Yeah, exactly. Good enough to make the big three. That's awesome.
He was checking every night. He's like, I just need a couple more. Should be good. Just kept chucking it on net.
Yeah, yeah.
To make the big three.
Yeah. I'll get that Instagram shout out. Ty, you want to go?
Yeah, sure. Second, I have... for my big three guy. I'm going... It's close for me, but I'm saying Patrick Kane because I watched a game.
Nice.
Like I said earlier, I've had so much fun. He's so fun to watch, and especially on a weaker roster, it's like he really shines, and he moves the puck so well, and everybody wants him to have it. So it's kind of sweet to see. So you see him, like, just razzle-dazzle all night, and somehow with that team and that goalie, they still win some games, and it's because they're able to score, like, 4 to 6 goals, like, most nights. So I find that interesting. And he's another great example of a player who, like, I never see him take his foot off the pedal, even if his team's down, like, 4 goals. And he can have a night. So, yeah, I thought we saw flashes of that this week, and he's my pick.
Yeah, fair enough. Great pick. Yeah.
He had an unreal assist on the OT winner last night.
Oh, yeah?
Him and DeBrincat going flying up the ice. DeBrincat drops it to him. Kane's going down the wall, and DeBrincat just flies through the two defenders, and it's just an absolute rocket of a pass. DeBrincat just quickly chucks out a stick a little bit, just tips it top corner, far side, and it's just like no goalie saving it. Just perfect tip, perfect pass, and those two guys are so fun to watch together.
He's another great example of someone who just makes people's trade value like skyrocket. Because you like playing with a player like that, especially Kaner, you really can't tell if a guy's good or not. It's like Crosby, like it's the same effect. You can't always tell how good they are because like he makes them look amazing. Pardon me.
No, I was just gonna say that. Like you literally stole the words out of my mouth. Like another like stud of a player who you can literally put any player with him and he's gonna make him better.
And you know, like other than beating up cab drivers when he was younger, he's got some mad charisma. And like he's got the odd drunk videos out there, but just being an obnoxious, wasted young kid, but.
Man, but, who doesn't though? That's the real question.
Yeah, true. When you got
those videos of them out there.
yeah, fair enough. I guess I got a couple.
You had one like 2 days ago.
Yeah. I did. Oh, that was, I don't know. I don't have to let me go back there anymore.
That was, that was.
I sent it to you. I was like, oh my God. I went for brunch with someone, had a couple of mimosas, came back, had a nap, watched Sonic, hadn't seen it, the new one. And then, big day. And then went out for drinks and dinner later on with some friends and watched some hockey. And I was sitting there. And I was like, I thought I saw someone on TV in the Blasty jersey. I was watching it. I was sitting against a wall, so I can't watch the TV, but I could see it in the reflection of the window. So I was like watching it anyway, kind of, because I couldn't help it. And I was like, I'm obviously so the wobbly pops are hitting me, and I'm so tipsy or whatever you want to call it, hammered. And I saw tipsy, this guy in a black jersey, and he like attempted the Michigan or something. I thought it was Blasty, and I was like, oh, like did they wear the jersey? Like, I'm like, what jersey was that? Then I found out they didn't, and I was so confused. Me trying to relay that to you guys, the text messages were fucking killing me.
Dude,
I read them the next day.
It was killing me real time. trying to answer them.
When you ask for reinforcements. Oh, God, man. Yeah. Too showed funny. My girlfriend. I was the next day. I was like, oh, like this was me trying to like ask the guy something. And we were both just laughing so hard at it. Yeah, well, man, it got the best of me. It got the best of me. Anyway, Kaner's a beauty. Yeah. Who's your big three?
Yeah, I can bring myself back here. I would say for me this week, I got to choose the Boston Bruin, David Pastrnak.
Pasta.
Yeah, like welcome back, David Pastrnak. 3 games, 5 goals, 2 assists for 7 points. Yeah, what else can I say? Just dynamic, right into the swing of things. Like, he didn't miss any time, so gotta give it to him for sure. And with that said, I have a hoser's auction for this week. I don't know if you guys have any, but I have one, and relates to David Pastrnak, so I thought I'd bring it up now. Buying or selling David Pastrnak winning the Rocket Richard?
You want me to go first? I'm selling.
Fair.
I think it's gonna be a person in the Canadian division.
Yeah.
And I think just having those couple of games that he's lost, or a few weeks that he lost, I think that's just gonna cause the difference. I think he'll be up there. I think he'll fly up there, but I think he'll just not get there with the shortened season and how many goals are being scored in Canada right now.
But very fair. Right now, Matthews leads the league with 11. But then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Canadian division players behind him. 3 with 9, 2 with 8. And then a bunch with 7 and 6. He's got 5 after this 1 week. 3 games, 5 goals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. If he keeps playing the way he's playing, easily could get up there, yeah. It'll be tough to see. Ty, what do you think?
Oh, we may have lost Ty.
Oh, I'm nice. So sorry. I was muted. I was muted. I was typing on my keyboard, and I didn't want you guys to... Sorry. I didn't get far into my answer, though. So, you know, fuck.
For the listeners, we've been having some technical difficulties. I've dropped a couple times, and... we just aren't sure where we're at. So when Ty's not answering, it's a little bit worrisome for sure.
Yeah, Ty talks fucking a lot and loud, so you know something's up. But yeah, I know. Sorry, I was just saying on mute that I think it's too hard for me not to pick McDavid or Matthews just because they got the absolute softer than baby shit tire pumpers in their league and at the bottom. Sorry, in their division. And I don't know. Like look at the numbers everyone is managing to put up against either the Canucks or the Sens. Like it's sad. Like, and we knew we were gonna see it. Some nights we knew it. But man, it's like I think I've seen a bunch of 7-8 goal games against them, and you're just like, oh fucking ouch, man. Like, honestly, I have fun watching them, and they're not getting challenged at all. They run right through them, and the stars shine. They just salivate, and like, you know, McDavid and Matthews, like every night against those teams, they're out there to score as many as they can, and like they do it with ease. So I don't know, I can't see one of them not getting it the way it's looking.
And that kind of actually kind of falls into, oh, I don't think Taylor gave his opinion, my bad.
I don't know, man, I'm like right on the edge. I think he could do it. I think he's like one of the only guys in the league that like even with a couple weeks behind could like make up the points. As long as Bergeron, Marchand stay healthy, I think he's got a shot. So I am definitely buying in on it.
Nice.
Yeah. No, you know what? It's gonna be Spezza after just that monster hat trick. He's just gonna be running the high.
Yeah.
What, dude, did you see that Hattie though?
I did.
There were some pretty nice goals. And by the third one, I was like, because like 1 and 2, it's like, oh, okay. And then as I watched the third one, I was like, holy shit. Like, that was kind of nice. Just walk right around Edler like he's trash.
So I have some good news and I have an apology.
For the same thing.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So let me just make sure my figures are correct here.
Yeah, make sure your mic's on. You sound good.
Yep, okay, it is. Let me double check, actually. Yep. So the Oilers' last game and the Flames' second last game are against each other.
Nice.
Oh,
so the last they okay. That's
get a series to end it.
The second last day of the season, they play against each other, and then the Flames played the next day against the Canucks.
Man, oh, that's so good.
But for my apology, we may be together for that game because it's my wedding night.
Oh
huge!
Just huge. Ruined. That's awesome. Well, we're watching. Wait, the night of your wedding?
Yep.
Oh, Ty.
No, I'll have Mike, it on. But I'll have it on somewhere. Somewhere at all times.
What time? Wait, what time are you guys getting married?
I don't know. We gotta figure that out. Still, we still don't know how many people are allowed to.
11 a.m.
Yeah, a quick 2 o'clock wedding.
Too funny. Well, no worries. It's all right. If it doesn't work out, we can always not pay attention to the score. Watch it later. I don't know.
I've got it on my phone, like front row, just like at the ceremony. Yeah, just like yeah, fucking right. Going to the playoffs.
That's so funny.
Like, spikes his phone. Just goes up and hugs Mike. I'm going to the bar. Yeah, you could see it. It's like it's too real of a picture.
Oh, I could already envision it.
Mike, don't worry. I'll confiscate his phone first.
It'll be on my watch, but I'll find a way.
Yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead, anyway.
We're gonna need somebody's balcony, like off to the side, and just have it roll out the TV and just display it behind the bride, see it. We can just look up and just see it from the.
Yeah.
Oh,
just
God.
So she can't see.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, when you're watching the game at a restaurant and the game's behind her and you're like, quick peek.
Perfect.
That's a classic. Everybody does that too.
I get caught staring.
Like, yeah, of course.
I can't help myself. Or I'll say something. That's the worst thing. I'll just blurt out something like mid sentence or mid her sentence, especially a McDavid goal or like something like that. I'm like just some really inappropriate loud yell in a restaurant or something.
Late
dirty
game.
Gino. Just like,
yeah.
sorry, what? Work?
Late in the game, and she's like professing her love for you, and you're like, yes, go.
Yeah, just start getting into it.
That's too funny.
We need to talk.
We were talking.
Yeah. I was talking to Goudreau going down the wing.
Yeah.
Oh, ham and cheese.
Too funny.
ham and cheese.
Boys, two things I wanna touch on that happened tonight. So I guess it's not the last week of hockey, but one, did you guys see Nils Höglander take that puck to the face?
Oh.
Man, he took a Jordy Benn like point shot. He like got the puck right in between the visor and the helmet, like on top of the visor and like under the helmet. Nice big gash on his forehead. He missed 6 minutes of the game. That's it.
My man. Like,
what?
Comes back 6 minutes later and like plays the rest of the game. Nuts.
So it was his forehead that got cut then, eh?
Yeah, it looked like, so I wasn't sure at first. I showed my wife and she was like, oh, it's he got like hit in the nose or something and he's bleeding from his nose. There's so much blood in his face.
Yeah, there's a lot of blood.
Yeah, like it showed, I saw a video of him after, like he came back and he's got like this massive cut on his forehead.
Oh, weird. Yeah, because I thought it was, because I only saw like the original video. I didn't really do any follow-up on it. I thought it hit the top of the visor, so the visor came down and smoked the top of his nose. And I thought that was what it was gushing.
Right.
Because your nose will gush, and then the inside of your nose will gush, and that can create a lot of blood.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's
definitely.
Nuts.
Have you seen a picture posted like of it cleaned up or it after, or was he stitched up
no,
and he came back?
I haven't yet, but I'm looking right now to see if there's anything out there.
Oh, okay, cool. Because yeah, I haven't seen that, but it looked ugly, man. Tough to see, and like, shout out fucking Victoria boy Jordy Benn for hitting this fucking poor kid in the face with a disgusting shot.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I heard it was his own teammate, I'm like, oh, that's almost so much worse. Like, 'cause it would just suck to, like, put a strain or make the relationship awkward. And, like, I don't know. Depending on how bad it is, it might just be a little awkward. Who knows? But
yeah, I think he's fine. Like, I don't think he's going to be too upset about it. But, like, do you think Ben gets scratched because of it?
Oh, definitely a 2-game health bomb for sure.
Like, he's already, what,
there's I didn't even think of that. Defenseman. Yeah, he's hanging by a thread as it is, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm looking on Twitter right now, and there's no, like, after picture. It's just the like, video of him taking the puck to the face, so.
Yeah, I can't see anything either.
Oh, yeah, we'll probably get one tonight at some point.
Oh, yeah, there'll be, like, especially that he returned, there'll be, a glam shot. Like, look what he came back from. Like,
yeah.
It'll be, like, totally. Posing with the puck, you know?
That's one of my favorite things about hockey. Like, whenever you see those, like, so many of them just make you shake your head. Like, Werenski's had a bad one, and you're just like, holy crap. It's inspiring. It's cool. It, like, shows, it's one of the best examples of how much of a warrior sport it is.
Totally. So true. Something else I wanted to touch on tonight, and it's been a theme, I think, so far this year with the Columbus Blue Jackets, but Patrick Laine sits the last 6 minutes of the second period and then the entire third period. This is what is like third game with Columbus, and Torts has already got him sitting.
Yeah, a little Dubois treatment, pretty, you know.
Yeah, pretty rough. You got star players like that, you want to play them for sure, but I guess if they're not working to their potential, then they shouldn't be playing.
Yeah, I mean, the other guy on that trade looks great, though. Like, Roslovic was an absolute beauty tonight. He's had a couple great goals so far.
Yeah, it's set ups, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks great.
Yeah, he was going to be, if one of you took Pasta, I had Pasta, Petrie, and then Roslovic as my third. He's got one goal and 5 assists for the Hosers' big three, or 4 assists, sorry, 4 so far this week, or last week.
Yeah. I had Petrie, Kane, and Igor Shesterkin.
Nice.
Had a good week.
Yeah, like, we can, just like a preface, we can pick the same guy, but if we have other picks that are similar, then we'll probably just fade to the other guy.
It's just too close to ours, like,
yeah. I had, who did I have? Petrie, Pasta, and DeBrincat.
Nice.
But
yo, back to Columbus quickly. Bjorkstrand is like looks better every game. I like love his game, and he's such a dangerous player. He goes to the net really hard and protects the puck well, and he's fun to watch. 28 on Columbus. Mm-hmm. Whenever you see him out there, I just love his development. He's come so far, and I can never tell if he's like if he's hit his ceiling, but he just keeps going. I love it. Love watching him.
I think what the problem with Columbus is right now is their coach and their GM are not on the same page. Like, Torts has spent so long, and it's worked. He's just implemented their systems. They've become such a good defensive team. And, like,
yeah, it's so
they're,
true.
They're such a hard team to play against, but their GM in their most, like, big two trades has been Patrick Laine, all offense, and Max Domi, basically all offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Torts is, well, you've seen now, he's sat Laine. Domi's getting the least amount of minutes in his career, and he's not being utilized as center. On a team that has no center depth, he's still playing wing because Torts can't trust his defensive play in his own end at center.
Yeah, in the big zone.
And it's just Jarmo Kekalainen wants to build, I guess, like an offensive team, but Torts has done so well building the defense, and it's just a little discrepancy there. I don't know why. I it's hard to fix, I guess, but.
Yeah, well, wait, what did you say?
I was just finishing a point on their the discrepancy in the coach and the GM.
Okay, yeah, my audio cut out again, and I didn't hear you, but I thought you were talking about it.
I thought you did the Tyler, just too many duties, and you just forgot completely. I was like, I feel you, brother, I feel you.
Go ahead. You need to be on the same page, and obviously Kekalainen is wanting to bring in like high profile talent, right? And maybe he should be looking at bringing in like guys who can put the puck in the net, but also that are like willing to work hard and go out there and work hard. So,
I mean, we got to talk about Columbus for a big reason that happened on Sunday. Was it Sunday? I think it was. minute and a half left in the second period against Carolina. Carolina goes down and scores. Torts and the Blue Jackets challenge for offside. It's ruled it's ruled he was not offside, so the goal counts, which means obviously you lose a challenge, delay a game penalty. So Carolina goes on the power play. Carolina does not score on the power play, so the second period ends with about 30-ish seconds left on the power play. And it turns out the play was very offside. There was really no arguing with it. The guy's skate was clearly over the line. So the NHL and the refs, I guess, they decide that, okay, they're going to remove the last 30 seconds of that power play going into the third because obviously the goal should not have counted. But they still count the goal.
Yeah.
And obviously Columbus goes down and they finish the game and they lose by one. And just a crazy situation. I don't know how you can still count that goal. If you're taking the route of, yes, okay, it definitely was offside, we're going to take away the penalty, how do you not take away the goal?
Yeah, dude. Like, this is a situation where, like, you just kind of eat your mistake. Like, okay, you realize that you made a mistake. You didn't catch it when you reviewed for the offside challenge or for when Tortorella challenged the play. Just eat the mistake. Let them finish the 30-second penalty and, like, just go with it. I don't think Torts is going to, like, bitch anymore because they have, like, an extra 30 seconds leading into this or, like, starting the second period. But he's definitely going to bitch if you take it away but not take the goal away because it was offside. Like, that's, yeah, it's just a bad decision, I think, on the ref's part.
Yeah, you come back in the third period. You put the minute and 30 back on the clock. If you're waiving the penalty, you have to waive the goal. So yeah, you come back after the ice clean, you play a minute and 30, then the horn goes, then you switch sides, and you play the third period. That's the obvious answer. Like, I don't understand how you can take away the penalty and not the goal and then just be like, yeah, we're gonna keep playing. Like, you just replay the minute and 30, whatever. It's as if that offside was a minute and 30 seconds ago, and then you still have the horn so that the you're not playing like 21 and a half minutes, and it's just, you just wipe the stats from the last minute and a half. And if you're gonna wipe one, you gotta wipe both.
Agreed. It's it's kind of bullshit. They definitely gotta do both. So
I got another stat, just hot off the press again. Monday night stat. Barry Trotz with the win tonight puts him into sole possession of third most wins as a head coach of all time. He hits number 850, the only three people to get to 850. Now he's just behind Scotty Bowman and Coach Q, John Quenneville. He was tied with Hitch coming into tonight.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. He's definitely deserved it. His coaching style and it's worked in many different places with many different play styles that he gets handed to. And I don't know. He's one of the best for sure.
I used to not like him way back in the day. I didn't like him. I remember when, I think it was the 2014 Olympics when he was chosen for the coach for USA, I think. And whatever year it was, I remember I didn't like it. I was like, oh, why? Like, such an emotional blah, blah, blah guy. Like, who needs him in the international game on that stage was kind of my thought. But then, he's been in so many places and posted pretty good careers. And, like what he does works. Like, there's just no denying his numbers. So when I got a good look at that, it was like, yeah, he's kind of a legend in his own right.
Yeah, especially taking, especially taking an expansion Nashville team to kind of where he got him. That's...
Man, I didn't even know. Was that where he started?
I don't know if that's where he started, but that's where he was definitely the longest.
Right. Yeah, I think he was one of the most winningest. What's the term?
Yeah, winningest. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Coaches, are you American coaches? Like, I think it was, the stats were staring me right in the face when I was bitching about it. Like, classic. I just don't know my shit. And I was like, oh, that sucks. Like, fuck this guy. He's gonna be terrible. And then someone's like, really? He's like, got the most wins by any U.S. coach. So I was like, oh.
Yeah, he did start his first NHL job was the head coach of the Predators.
That's wild. I did not know that's where he started.
He was there for...
We've gotten so many legendary clips out of him, too. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I didn't like him back in the day, but over like it's fuck, I love him now. Like he's done so many funny things in the media. I love that he doesn't take any shit and he does his own like I just Torts is a beauty.
He really
come on Torts.
Yeah, he doesn't take any shit.
Come on for an interview. We love you.
Yeah, right, dude.
We'll get him.
He barely interviews with the press.
Yeah,
don't let the press talk.
We'll just call him. We'll get his number and just randomly call him. Guy Torch, just a quick question here, sir.
He'll just rip on us the whole time. He'll be like, "That's fucking bullshit."
You can tell us to fuck off, and that'll be the clip at the start of the thing. Yeah, go fuck yourself. Yeah, we made it.
Yeah,
a 45-second interview is still an interview with John Tortorella.
Yeah, we'll find a way to trick him to stay on the line, and when he finds out what we're doing, he'll just start losing it on us. Or click and hang out.
You can come on with Jordy Ben while he serves his 2-game sussy for smoking Hoglander in the mouth. Man, I gotta bring up this story.
Not a sussy, just a health bomb.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, whatever. team sussy. Okay, I had this fucking wild story at work today.
Hit it.
So I'm leaving work. I'm leaving work to go home for the day.
Yeah.
And I work in a mall, so I was like, okay, I gotta quickly hit the pisser and then I can go. And I'm like mid peeing, and this guy walks in behind me, pretty loud footsteps, but as soon as he gets right behind me, he's just ripping farts. Like one after another, like every step's like a little.
No.
And they were like, they sounded like wet,
just
and
wet,
gross. Yeah, it was bad. And this, so I'm just standing at the urinal. Didn't catch a look at the guy's face, but he instantly goes into the stall, obviously. And dude does not shut the stall door at all.
It's panic mode,
dude. Panic
in the mall.
In the mall, he walks in, slams the stall door. It like flies back open like halfway, and it's just unload city.
Was it like Dumb and Dumber? You just heard like all the flushing and the swirling, and then just this guy losing it.
It was just like like four atom bombs, just instantly. Like as the door slams, it's just bang. It's just
was anyone else in there?
No, it was just me.
Oh, I wish you could just looked at this other guy and been like, oh.
And man, that poor guy though.
The bathroom was just like just two urinals and a stall, so it's not that big. But man, I did not like. As soon as I got off, finished up my piss, I was like, I am not looking in this stall door. I am not locking eyes with this man sitting on the toilet door wide open.
She went over and just knocked on the side. You okay in there? You okay in there? You Pepto?
Yes.
just peeked my head in like, hey buddy, we've all been there. How you doing?
Yeah, pulls out the emergency Tums and Pepto here. I don't understand.
I couldn't.
It happens to me all the time.
Do you need anything?
Yeah.
Can I do anything for you?
Oh god, I couldn't believe
you
it.
Want
I was
a glass
just
of water.
Are you sure you got paper in there?
Yeah.
God.
Oh god, I was. Yeah, but I couldn't,
just
couldn't believe it.
But he just dumped two fucking hot Frosties on his ass. Just dying in there. That's gross.
Oh, Fairways sushi get to you again? Oh. Been there.
Oh, that's brutal. The that pain. Was... The pain. Oh, should that be our random story? Are we out of hockey for the week? Well, not the river out, but should we wrap her up?
Just a couple extra Habs points. Shea Weber played his 1,000th game.
Oh,
gave a little standing salute to the crowd that was of zero people. That was pretty
funny.
There. yeah, that was good. And
Corey Perry, the Worm, 800th point.
Nice. Good
Let's
man.
Go, Perry, the Montreal Bomb.
Yeah, he's your guy, hey?
Dude, he's a fucking there. He's a beauty. Look, wherever he goes, they just start blowing up. Dallas, how'd that happen?
Rocket Richard coming at you.
Yeah, I told you. No, he hasn't even been playing all the games, and he's rocking a dirty number now too. He's a fucking beauty.
I think we gotta pump Taylor's tires a little bit.
Oh yeah, the Hoser's pick of the day.
Hoser's pick of the day. We had two winners this week. Taylor, big night from him. Gets the dub.
How are you doing?
Yotes over the Blues. And then our boy Hemer with number two on the year.
Fucking Raheem, way to go, buddy.
Yotes over the Blues.
Yeah, they.
That was.
Yeah, 3-1 too, and they won.
They swept them this week. Yeah, 3-0. The fucking Yotes.
Yeah, they beat him tonight in the shootout.
But yeah,
our boy Heemer, go ahead, Raheem.
You're looking hot, my dude.
Heemer gets his second of the week, or second of the year. Puck Hog not sharing the wealth with anybody else, so he's still our club host leader.
What was his?
Way to go, Raheem.
He had, I can't remember what he had, but then he, like the next day, he gets cocky and picks like an OT winner. I was like, okay, if he gets this one, then... And we're just quitting.
We'll just give him the merch now.
Yeah, exactly. We're just
the mystical Raheem. He predicts these things.
He's just having a day.
Too fun. Well, yeah, that was good. I love this game, man. It's so fun. Like, you just go on, you look at the games that are playing, and you go, oh, who do I think is going to win, and what's the score going to be? And when you get it right, like, it feels great. I, like, wasn't watching the Arizona-St. Louis game at all. Like, I totally forgot that I even guessed it. It was like in the middle of my work day. I just threw a pick in. I was like, yeah, why not? End of the day comes by and I like look at the scores. I'm like, 3-1 Arizona. Where? Why does that sound familiar? Oh shit. I guessed it. Yeah, I was pretty excited about that.
Raheem had the Bolts 5-1 over the Wings on Wednesday.
Oh nice.
Go Bolts.
Go Bolts, the classic.
Classic indeed. I have one more like not hockey story. Do you guys have anything? It's not a story actually. It's more of a question. And actually, I have one more hockey thing too. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say. There's this new hockey game that hit the market a couple months ago, and our buddy Louie got me into it this week. And oh, it's a game changer. You thought Chell was a good game, or maybe you thought Chell was a bad game. This game is incredible. It is so hard to play, but it's an absolute riot. It's called Slapshot Rebound. It's a free game on PC.
Free?
Yeah, it's free. It's in beta or whatever.
But oh, sweet.
It's like super easy controls, but so complicated to play. It's just a 5-minute 3-on-3 game, and there's no goalies. It's just the three of you. So like one of you can play goalie or like switch off and stuff like that.
All right.
But all you do is like your left stick controls your player, your right stick is your stick, and that's really about it. It's all like physics based, and it's nuts.
Cool.
Oh shit! Is it like a full rink?
Yeah, it's a full rink.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's like an arcade game, but man, it's a riot. Not the biggest fan base right now, but man, it'll grow. It's a great time to play, so we'll get us on there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, a little hosers game.
I was gonna say we should reach out to the developers and see if they'll sponsor the pod.
Oh, here we go.
Or even come on, maybe I gotta play this thing first. But
yeah, it's a great game,
man. Yeah, let's play it this week, and then we'll like reach out, see if we can reach out in any way, and yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, why not? I think it sounds interesting. Big gamer, love hockey. I would love something, anything new to come in. When they used to have that 3-on-3 arcade from NHL in like 2009, I loved it.
Oh, that was a
it.
Great game.
Oh, dude, the sound effects in the menu. Whoosh.
Whoosh. Yeah.
Blurp. 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 Yeah. Like, they're so weird and inappropriate, but they just make you laugh. That's a fucking great game. Classic. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, right on.
What was your hockey and non-hockey stuff?
Okay, so my last hockey note, not NHL related, but did you see Drew Helleson's goal this year?
My boy!
Or this week?
Yeah, dude, my boy, Avs prospect.
Yeah, dude, unreal. Goes end-to-end, undresses like 4.
Who is it? Can you send it to me?
Yeah, I'll find it for you.
I just didn't hear the name.
Drew Helleson.
Oh.
He was the Avs second rounder in 2019, I believe. Was it 2019? Was it the draft we're at? I think so. Must have been. Yeah, just a crazy end-to-end rush. Let me just find it.
Overtime game winner?
overtime game winner with like a couple of ticks left on the clock.
Oh, I see that. I'm watching right now.
It was so nice.
Like 3 seconds left or something like that. Yeah. Little slurp in, cuts in, cuts for it.
Now he's coming up the wing now.
Cuts inside. Great play by play there, Mike. Love
it. Eagles.
Caw. Yeah, that was a dandy.
Okay. Final note on the night. Does anybody else have anything they want to touch on before we get into this nonsense?
I think I'm good.
What do you, like, your opinions, please. Is water wet?
Water is not wet. Do you think
water is wet? Okay, explain, Mike.
I'm going to resort to that guy who did that crazy rant about water being wet, and I believe what he said. I can't remember exactly what it was now. It's because you put water on other things to make them wet, so water being the caveat, water in and of itself cannot be wet or something like that. But no, okay. water is not wet.
Fair. I think I agree with you, but I'll be the devil's advocate here. Is water not on itself at all times?
Yes and no.
Because fair enough.
It's all one. Fuck, I don't know, dude.
Ty, what do you think?
Fuck, you're breaking my brain with this. I'm never gonna sleep. I'm gonna be lying awake, saying with bloodshot eyes. Maybe just bust open the computer. Some books. Read about it. Man, I don't know, man. Just, go ahead.
Just spoke like a big J. And
just like, talked to myself for a while.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, I think it might be wet.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to say no, but I can't explain it. Like, I really want to say no, but I can't. Yeah. More. Every time I try to, I think I just sound so stupid.
Fair enough. I like... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Ty's going to be talking in his sleep, and he's just going to be like, oh, yeah, we'll put, and then just go back to it.
Oh, my God.
Too funny.
Probably. That's my theme, my motto.
Yeah, I, like, went down, like, a massive, like, YouTube, TikTok, fucking Instagram, all this bullshit rabbit hole of like, okay, is water wet, and like different people explaining it, and I was like, oh man, like, yeah, what a mind fuck. But ultimately my thought is yes, no, it is not wet.
Couldn't be any more clear. I'm picking it up, buddy.
Fuck. Okay, so basically you
convinced me.
You have one, if you have one singular water molecule and like the definition of like wet is having water on it, then that one singular molecule is not wet. Right?
Yeah.
Do we get that? But if we put that water molecule on something else, then that thing that you put it on becomes wet, but the water itself does not become wet. So that was my thought process. Yeah.
I like it.
It's making something else wet, but it itself is not wet.
Bingo. Fuck,
it's too late for this. I'm my brain.
Yeah, hurts. Dude, I feel bad I couldn't give you a real opinion, but that's, I literally tried.
Man, your reaction and opinion is great.
I put my heart into it. I gave it a real college try. All
right. Right on.
I think it's time to sign out here.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Fuck, it's been a rough one tonight, fellas. But.
Closers panel number 8. You know, the adversity's coming. The internet and all its mysteries are against us.
Yep, truly.
Look out for Hosers panel, Slapshot Rebound, coming to you live at Twitch, probably.
Nice. Love it.
Oh, man, I didn't even think of streaming it.
Yeah, dude.
I didn't even think of that.
That'd be fun.
Sharing my internet.
we're gonna lose 8-1 every game.
We're just getting smoked. Yeah.
Actually, I think you can only lose by 5. I'm pretty sure 5 is the max, and they there's just call mercy. It. So there's a mercy rule.
Can't wait, man. Whoosh.
Whoosh.
Alrighty, fellas. Well, everybody listening, thanks for kind of sticking with us and making it through that jumble episode. Of an episode.
It was the episode. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That episode. It was great. Anyways, yeah, we really appreciate the support, and we've got quite a few people that have like reached out to us this last week and playing, obviously, Hoser's Pick of the Day on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, if you like what you're listening to and you want to kind of keep up to date with us on Twitter or Instagram or whatever, shoot us a message, give us suggestions. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep talking to us for sure, Hosers, because it's awesome. It's finally starting. We're finally starting to hear from you, and it's really going to help us with coming out with good content and compelling stuff. And yeah, we're going to get better every week. We know that.
Yeah, thanks to all the Hosers and Hosettes out there.
Hosettes. That's good.
All right, that'll do it. Episode 8 in the book.
Epi 8. We'll see you next week. Epi 9 coming in hot. Peace.
Have a good night. Go Bolts.